Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
So, guys, I heard that you guys did something fun together this weekend, right?
Justin was like, hey, Pete, you should go see this amazing movie that you're always talking about, the graphic novel. We should go together. And then he ditched me.
That is not at all what happened. I heard about this special screening of the movie I Killed Giants,
which is an amazing book.
So I thought, and I saw that online, and I was like, you know what, my good friend Pete, Pete LePage, he loves that character. He loves that. He loves Joe Kelly.
Yep.
I'm going to just say, hey, Pete, what are you doing on Saturday? And I included the link there as in, like, you should go see this. Ha! Yeah. Friends.
Yeah, and I got all excited, like, we're going to go see this together, right, friend? And you were like, no, you go alone by yourself.
I didn't say go alone. I said I can't go, so live your life.
Oh.
I just want to mention,
Nice.
So last week you guys were talking about how you hadn't seen each other for a while, and you went over to Justin's house to see Green Room because you hadn't seen him, and I brought up that you guys never invited me, and I can't help but notice that again, you guys were talking about going to see a movie together, and you didn't see what I was doing.
Sorry, just say, tell me your name one more time. I'm Alex.
He's the host.
That's fine. You know what? I'm the host.
We're the co-host.
Oh, that's what I think of a host.
Right. He's got too much going on.
No, that's not it at all. That's why I didn't. It doesn't make you feel better. No, I didn't want to hang out with Pete either.
Yeah. No.
Is that the maybe that's the best way to look at this?
I did see the tweet, and you were like, "What are you doing Saturday?" And first thing I saw when I saw Pete, I was like, "Hey, did you and Justin enjoy the movie?" Because I assumed from tweeting that you're like, "Let's go together."
Not at all. I make fake. I make fake plans with the people all the time.
Wait, real quick, before we welcome out our guests, how was the movie, Pete?
It was amazing.
Pete, face the audience.
It was an amazing film.
What are you doing right now looking at the audience?
I highly recommend the book. I read each individual issue, but it's
a
graphic
novel. Wait, did we
mention
it was I Kill Giants?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we did.
Wallowing in your
self-pity.
I was just sad.
I knew everything that was going to happen. I still got caught up in it and still ended up crying during the film.
No. You cried.
It's really good.
Oh, man, I wish I was there.
Guys, you know who is here? Our guests tonight. We're very excited to have them. They are the creators of the book, Alan, Son of Hellcock. Ladies and gentlemen, Will Tracy and Gabe Koplowitz.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Come on out and sit down.
Have a seat. Have a good time.
Thank
you for coming.
Here you go. Oh, hello. Hello. Thanks for coming. Hello. Good to see you. Please.
Thanks for having us.
Come sit down. Guys, very excited to have you here to talk about Alan, Son of Hellcock, which originally I think we were going to have you on to talk about Hellcock, and then you released Son of Hellcock.
Exactly. No, there's about how many, 28, 29 books in the Hellcock series so far?
Well, yeah, in the original universe, and then once we get into the expanded universe.
Right.
I don't know, maybe 150.
Yeah, this inherited is all from the original creators who died in, 48? Mm-hmm. And then one
and
of them
they
died
handed it down to you,
and we murdered the other one in 2009.
Yes.
Oh, right.
This is a great confession.
They just admitted to murder.
It's all part of the creative process.
Yeah, oh, we're cops. I forgot to mention we're cops, and this is a sting.
This whole thing's a sting.
Yeah, this is a crazy sting.
Are they all cops, the whole audience?
Yeah, everybody's cops.
Everyone's a cop.
Yeah, this is a cop show.
We're hell cops.
Great teamwork.
What, for those who haven't picked up Alan, Son of Hellcock, what is the idea of the book? What's the pitch for the book?
Gabe, you're starting with this one.
Okay. The idea is that Alan, Son of Hellcock, is basically about the apathetic hipster son of a Conan-esque barbarian named Hellcock, who has passed away.
But his ghost still haunts and pesters his son, who he considers to be an incredible disappointment.
That's got to be annoying.
Yeah. No, it's not good for him.
So were you guys Conan fans growing up, or was it like more He-Man inflected, or where did this come from?
Definitely not He-Man, I think. It was more comics related.
Yeah, okay. It's weird. Neither of us are actually like huge Conan or He-Man fans, and yet we can both consider ourselves big like fantasy fans. So I don't know where that comes
from.
Fantasies, we can't back that up.
What fantasies are you into?
Feel
free to get
Are you sure you want to ask Gabe?
Get as explicit.
You said beforehand we could be explicit. I just don't know if...
We're ready. We say that for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I actually grew up reading Gru the Wanderer.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yes. Yeah. So that was a big influence.
Yeah, just that combination of comedy and fantasy was we liked quite a bit.
Yeah. Do you feel like the book's been around? I assume you've taken it around to a bunch of conventions and stuff and things like that. Do you feel like doing a comedy fantasy book, is it in a weird niche there where it's not quite like, hey, we're the comedy comics, hey, we're the fantasy comics, we're in the middle, or is there that own niche?
There aren't even that many purely comedic books out there. I was surprised when we were actually kind of looked at the marketplace and like, okay, what's the competition? Like, there aren't that many. And in terms of comedy fantasy, like, I'm not sure what the other titles are right now.
There have been a few things, you know, on TV throughout the years, but in the comics world, I don't.
Yeah,
there's not much.
Yeah,
yeah.
But we also were. The story of this book is how completely dumb we were about the comic book world and getting into it. And this took like we wrote this what like 8-9 years ago.
Yeah, I think we started about 9 years ago.
And then you know we've had like whole other careers since then, and just sat in a drawer somewhere until one of us met Josh Frankel, who's the publisher, and I mentioned, oh yeah, my friend and I wrote a comic book once, and we showed it to him, and he really liked it. Wow. So it was this thing from an earlier part of our lives that just sort of came back to life.
Well, so why did you originally set it down as a comic book? What made it a comic book?
Well, that was just a major part of how Gabe and I became friends. Was bonding over comic books, because I just had no other friends really who were comic book fans. And Gabe was sort of my one.
Yeah, it was
friend.
Kind of a friendship of attrition, really.
That's right.
Yeah, we're very familiar with that.
Okay. You guys get it.
We're down to this.
As soon as we walked in, we said to ourselves, these three guys get it.
They get it.
Where did you guys grow up?
We're both West Coasters. I grew up in San Francisco.
And I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay. So all right. Well, those are
comic-y. So
conservative strongholds.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Hiding with your spider-man comic book, shivering and scared.
That's right. So persecuted.
Yeah. So what was your first comic book then? What was the thing that made you a fan of comic books?
It was Tintin for me.
Oh, wow.
Tintin was huge for me. Nice. And the art style of Alan Son of Hellcock was supposed to be sort of inspired somewhat by that very clean line, almost European style art. And then a lot of Marvel stuff. Daredevil, which I see right there, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man. And then not as much DC, except for some Batman. But
yeah, I guess for me, the first and actually only comic I've ever read was Cyber Force number 3.
That's it.
That's
a good one.
Get you in there and then retire immediately. Like, it's not going to get any better than this.
Yeah. It's a complete story.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
You've gotten like a page or two into some other ones, and you're just like, you bounce right off of it.
And none of these people are made out of metal. What's the point?
I'll tell you, the reason we started the show is we felt not enough people were talking about Cyber Force number 3.
We
review it every week on the show.
It's great that you're here, actually, because maybe a fresh take on it.
Yeah, we're running out of things to say.
Because we're like, they're all metal, they're all sort of have knives, it's hard to tell them apart.
They were all the exact same, I think.
Yeah, one was gold, I think, if I remember correctly.
Was that right? Yeah, we're weirdly obsessed with all of the early Image comics that in hindsight are just kind of horrible.
So, well, I feel the same way, though, because when I was reading those, it was the first time I'd ever mail-ordered comics, and I spent the whole summer being like, fuck, when those Image comics get here, it's going to be great. Look forward to it.
Did that work? I always looked at that, and I never actually followed through on it.
It took, like, truly 6 weeks after they were released for them to get there. So I was like, it was fall. I was back to school.
Right.
And then my life's over.
You never did subscription stuff?
Never.
Really?
I went to the comic book store.
Oh, yeah. I always did subscription for my Marvel books. I got all of them. And sometimes, when you were really lucky, they'd accidentally double up your subscription. Mm. So you'd get, like, ridiculous numbers of copies of New Mutants just in the mail, just coming to you every single day.
Wow. Maybe all my comics were going to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, I don't need this much cable, you know?
Yeah. I don't need this many issues of cable.
Yeah. So you put the book on the shelf for 8 or 9 years, brought it out. What did you have to change? What did you realize looking back at that, oh, my God, this is something that just we did horribly wrong 8 years
ago? I don't
know
if you've ever taken anything out of a drawer that you wrote 10 years ago, but it's a horrifying experience. So, yeah, no, it involved a pretty significant edit and rehaul. And plus, by that point, we were actually having to, you know, find an artist and make this in any way legible to a comic book artist.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of sort of visual direction that was not in our original script that we had. The original script was written almost just sort of like character, name of character, dialogue, and then a little bit of action beats. And then we actually had to be really specific about what was in each panel and all that. So it involved kind of an overhaul, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a script at that point, so a lot of jokes didn't work once they were illustrated, and we saw a lot of places where we could add stuff or punch things up.
And you had a lot of references to, like, mid-2000 pop culture.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right, exactly.
There's a lot of, like, mid-Bush term stuff.
Yeah, some jokes about Jamie Kennedy.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Still resonant. Still resonant.
Mm, yeah, it is. He's still a prominent character.
Yeah.
What did you guys do between the 9 years? You just waited in your office for the book to be ready to
Yeah, we just gathered dust, really. I've worked in television advertising, marketing for 6 or 7 years. Worked for VH1, and I work for Viceland, Vice's TV channel now.
Cool.
And Will's had a completely unremarkable career that's not worth mentioning.
Wow.
I was at the Onion, and then after The Onion, I met John Oliver now last week tonight with John Oliver.
Oh, nice.
He's being very modest. He was editor-in-chief of The Onion.
But well, that's not, you know, it's a, yeah. It's a I just being like
making
the king
him uncomfortable
of
the right. by saying that.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah. Now, were you guys...
I wouldn't worry about it.
It's not... This is not...
now I am. Yeah, it's not worrying.
Now I actually am.
It's fine.
We insult our guests.
Yeah. We do it all the time. It's not an issue now, but when Son of Zorn came out, were you guys
It was a
pissed?
Nightmare because, like, we'd written this thing a long time ago, and it was like, okay, it's finally happening. He's halfway through illustrating it. You know, this Spanish artist named Miguel Porta, who's amazing.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an exciting thing, and I think Gabe, on his way to work, saw, like, a poster in the
Yeah,
subway,
I saw a poster, yeah.
And just texted it to me, like, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't know. And then we, you know, found out what it was, and we realized that, like, okay, similar kind of title, but it's actually a very different world.
Yeah.
And so it's unfortunate, but we really didn't want to change the title. I actually think our title's better, too, so, like, I'm not going to change Alan, Son of Hellcock, just because there's something called Son of
Hellcock. It's got Hell and Cock in
right.
it. So
but
you're
we
doing
did, we
well.
Were. Believe me, we were, like, very much hoping for that show would go away, which, yeah. you know, it did.
Did you hate watch it, or did you hate ignore it?
Oh, I completely did not watch it.
Yeah. I watched it for the two of us.
Nice.
And I was very, because if I'm being honest, if we hadn't, you know, if our comic didn't exist and I had just seen that poster, I would be excited, because yeah. I thought it was a really cool idea. And I was really glad when I didn't like it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hooray, yeah. It's bad.
Yeah.
More aggressively mediocre than bad, right?
Absolutely, right. Yeah. There was some. You know, I like a lot of the people in it, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. It was like, yeah, there were really, really talented people making it too.
Yeah, so. I had watched a couple of episodes of it, and I think aggressively mediocre is right way of hitting it.
With that concept, I feel like it should have been like could have been really spectacular.
But. Oh well, at least there's Alan, Son of Hellcock.
That's right.
There you go. So, what are you guys working on with it now? Are we going to see more ongoing?
It's weird. We've created this whole backstory of other books in the series and this whole fake Hellcock universe that doesn't exist. But now it is kind of feeling like, I don't know, there might be something there. I'm not sure. Or there's also, like, we did a whole page in the back of, like, here are some other books kind of that we have worked on that aren't Hellcock, right?
Yeah, and like a sci-fi thing and just parodies of other
So we
shit,
might
so.
We might end up doing one of the fake ones we made up for our bio.
Oh, yeah.
Like in our bio, there's like 10 or 20 books that we just made up. Like, we are the authors of this, and they're all just fake. But some of them, like, we liked some of the titles well enough that we thought, like, yeah, this could be something.
Yeah, like, well, Alan, Son of Hellcock began with the title.
Right.
And then went from there. So I think we'd be in a good place to just
we start.
What
are,
that's
one
your
of these.
Process.
What are some other ones that you guys like that you made up?
Oh, boy, what were the names?
I'm trying to remember.
There's so many that, like, I can't even remember a single one, but they're on the flap of the inside thing that we, again, wrote many years ago.
Yeah, just go to the flap, Pete.
I'll go to the flap.
Go to the flap.
The flap is actually on our next show, so we'll just ask the flap then. It's all
great,
good.
Great.
Where can people pick up the book? Everywhere.
Well, Amazon.
Amazon.
Barnes & Noble.
Those two places.
What's a comic book shop we'd like to plug? Desert Island?
Yeah, Desert Island in Brooklyn, where we had our release party. It is available there.
But the easiest place would be Amazon.
All right, there we go. Check out Amazon.
Yeah, check it out for a lot
of
things.
It's great. It's good.
We can actually just talk about Amazon generally for a little longer.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Have you guys checked out Amazon?
You can buy laundry detergent.
There we go. Yeah, that guy has checked out.
Knows laundry detergent.
It's a really good website.
It's an add-on, actually, at the book. If you order toilet paper, you can just add the book.
People who bought this,
it's like the U2 album. It just shows up with your order.
That's great. All right, order toilet paper. You'll get Alan, Son of Hillcock, totally free. And we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week that we particularly liked. Let's kick it off with Pete. Is this your pick, maybe? Wonder Woman, number 34 DC Comics? Sure, could be. Pass it over to you guys.
All right.
So, Pete, tell us about this book. What's going on?
Well, we got a reunion of sorts. We have our Wonder Woman with her long-lost brother, which is kind of cool. And he doesn't wear a shirt. And they discover they both fly, and they're going to talk and fly and catch up.
Literally, when you said this, I opened up to a panel of a shirtless flying man.
Actually, can I borrow that
abs
for a second? Because there's something on that page. He's standing here with no shirt and the tightest pants possible, and he says, Glaucus, who's the guy who raised him, Glaucus conditioned me from birth to keep a low profile. And he's walking around with like 36 abs.
That is just the highest possible profile.
I know. You're going to notice that guy.
But he's very stretched, too. It's
hard to look. But he also hangs out with a lot of dudes without shirts on with ridiculous abs. So he kind of blends in.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like a whole thing.
It's island living. You can't. If I lived on an island for a while, I would be totally. Why even have the pants?
That's
uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work just to put pants on when you live that island. Yeah.
Plus, it's warm all the time. Pants are just protecting us from the cold.
I mean, I know that. I grew up on Long Island.
Huge nudist. You don't talk about
it. No pants, no service.
Wait, no pants, no service?
I don't know what I'm saying. Pete.
No pants, extra service.
You did a poor job of describing this book. So,
yes, shocker.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of got it.
That's
but basically,
my fault.
Like,
that's
actually,
my fault.
That's not totally true because, like, there's a lot of wandering around in this issue, I think, where Wonder Woman has been dealing with somebody who has been killing off Greek gods or people with Greek descent. From the Greek gods, not anybody with Greek descent.
No, be killing anybody. John Stamos.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't go after the Stamos.
George Papadopoulos.
Oh,
That's all right, I guess.
Those are the first two Greek people I could think of.
Yeah. Yep, that's great. She thinks somebody is coming after her brother, Jason. This is the first time they're meeting, so they spend a lot of time talking. Spoiler, it turns out he's actually evil and working with the bad guys, which is not too much of a surprise, I feel like it's supposed to be this emotional turn of the book where we've gotten to know him, but he's such a weird character throughout. There's almost no impact when it turns out that he's
it's hard to
guy.
Trust the dude who doesn't wear a shirt.
I mean, I was just about to say that if I met him and he was like, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
And he was like, I have powers. Some of them are like yours and some aren't. I'd be like, what the fuck is up with this?
Yeah.
He's also wearing what appear to be Crocs. And I think that is immediately you don't trust anyone wearing Crocs.
Oh, my God, no.
Even Mario Batali.
No, well, these are Toms, I believe.
Are they?
Oh, wow.
Do you trust
in which case,
the
even
only
worse.
People you can trust less than Croc wearers.
No, let me ask you. Okay, are you wearing socks?
Yeah, that's a key detail.
No socks. No socks.
Toms with no socks.
Don't trust
that's rough. That's rough.
That's worse.
No socks. No service. Did I get it right this time?
That would just rot them right off his feet.
Yeah.
Those things are barely being put together.
What did you think about this book?
Not very good.
And so this is by James Robinson. You're a big James Robinson fan.
No, I am not a huge James Robinson fan.
You are too.
Not just
Starman's very good.
Starman is my favorite. My favorite comic.
Well, I'm with you on Starman.
Ride or die for Starman. And I think something happened with him where he lost his talents.
I thought you were going to say shirt. He lost his shirt.
He lost his shirt.
And now he's been cursed
all
to write
of his
about
characters
shirtless
now
characters.
He is covered in Toms. He has like a Toms suit. And so you can't be a good writer covered in Toms. I just recently bought all the omnibuses of Starman. If you read the back pages, it's him talking about how depressing his life has gotten since Starman. And I feel like that is maybe reflected in his work now.
He's had some better stuff. He wrote Scarlet Witch, which he really liked.
I really like Scarlet Witch, standalone issues. That felt a lot like The Shade miniseries and whatnot. But this feels like sort of all over the place.
You should reach out to him and try to cheer him up a little bit. You know,
he doesn't know me, technically, so I don't know if...
Should we see if we can find his phone number online right now?
Yeah, sure.
Easily Google it.
I'll take a look for it while you guys are chatting. What do you guys think about the idea of Wonder Woman having a brother? How do you feel about that? Because that was a little bit of a flap online when people found out about the storyline a couple of months back.
Now, why?
Just the idea that it's Wonder Woman's, I think it's her 70th anniversary. She just had a big movie. This is the 700th issue. And they're like, great, make it her life about a dude instead.
Oh,
what do you think?
Yeah. That's a little, some people had that criticism of the movie that as soon as like Chris Pine shows up,
right.
It's kind of like, man, it kind of loses some of the fun.
Yeah, but it's Chris Pine. Yeah, so that's he's true. Very charming. He has beautiful blue eyes. All right. While I'm looking for James Robinson's number, let's move on and talk about your pick.
Daredevil. Might just call us. You know, we don't know. He might just call us.
Anything could happen. Daredevil number 595 from Marvel Comics. All
right. Yeah.
Justin, you want to talk about this?
Sure. So Daredevil's been out of town. He was stuck in a hole in China, I believe.
Yeah.
very popular place to go recently. So he's missed some time in New York. While he was gone, Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, has been elected mayor. Daredevil, not happy.
Can you imagine that? Having like an evil mayor just residing over us?
No way of understanding like a change in politics that I didn't understand.
You guys don't like de Blasio? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't think so.
It did sound like a veiled de Blasio jab.
Yeah, it definitely sounded like de Blasio more than anybody else.
No, de Blasio just won re-election, and it was not a surprise.
Now, what platform did Fisk run on?
It said in the comic he ran as an independent.
Okay.
I mean, you look at someone like Buddy Cianci.
Yeah.
He was a fantastic mayor, and he was a mobster.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a crook.
I think that's the issue that Daredevil's struggling with is he's like, this must be fake, this must be wrong, and all the characters he encounters is like, that's politics, bro.
Literally, do they say it like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm conflating it a little bit, but
that's got to be a splash page.
Some guy was like skateboarding without his t-shirt on, just like
Just real quick, I want to mention there's an antique store I found the number of called James Robinson Inc. But let's call them
and see what they got to say.
Yeah, what do you guys think about James Robinson's career?
Yeah, let's just give it a call.
Yeah,
that's totally fine.
All right, not going to do that. Obviously, this is a very resident. What?
You're so close to
me. I am very close to you.
I can see the number.
I can see the number as well.
Why would you even get that?
I don't have my phone on me right now.
I have my phone right here.
All right, give them a call.
Huh? Let's call an antique store.
Yeah, give them a call.
And that's why James Robinson hasn't been good since Starman.
Yeah, I feel like we're 12 and we're prank calling somebody.
How late do antique stores stay open?
Yeah, just ask them if they're.
They usually party all night, man.
Yeah. After this, ask them if the refrigerator is running, and if they say yes, say go catch it.
Yeah, that's a prank.
Start with a benign question about an armoire, and then lead into talking about.
What's his name? James Robinson.
James Robinson.
Put it on speaker.
I know.
I've got an antique for you. It's James Robinson's talent.
There you go. That's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Say that. That's our prank.
It's rain. Everybody.
Yeah, guys, this is a group prank.
It's like the eighth time they've been pranked today.
Oh boy, this is gonna be so good.
No, antique stores close at like 4. People are sleeping.
We're seriously going antiquing right now. This is sweet.
It's new frontier for us.
I mean, there's a solid chance the owners have passed away of old age.
Why did we think it was a good idea to call an antique store?
I mean, we had to. We had to.
When Adair comes in front of me, I can't help. Alex called.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a new segment.
Dare
prank
Justin
prank
do
an
shit.
Old person.
All right, we're going to check back with Justin in 50
it's
minutes.
It's weird that there's no pick. There's no.
You think at the very least they'd have an answering machine because it's an antique store.
Maybe, let's just let it ring.
Maybe all day long their lives are a living hell of comic book fans pranking them about James Robinson's
I want to talk to you about Starman number 56.
Yes, Wonder Woman's a letdown. I'm sorry.
It's you wanted our war.
Yeah.
It's in New York. It's a 2-on-2 number.
Let's just go there.
All right. Okay. All right. Show.
Is that for a field trip?
Yeah. Let's Andy Kaufman this shit.
James Robinson Ing. Oh, it looks very nice.
Oh, it's very. Oh, it's one of those antique stores that has like just mostly spoons.
Yeah.
It's like a fancy.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. This is. I'm
it's
sorry,
like so expensive. There's nothing to buy.
Yeah,
them.
That's right.
It's
yeah.
still
all right. Well,
just
we'll check
up.
Back with James Robinson Ing later in the show.
The fact that they don't have an answering machine is weird.
Very strange. What were you talking about? We were talking about Daredevil.
I just noticed it's $5.95. Have you guys talked about this?
The legacy numbering?
Yeah, the legacy numbering.
We've talked about it in previous shows, but for those of you who don't know, Marvel went back to quote unquote their original numbering, which is basically adding up all of the different runs of the title. So here we're getting Daredevil number $5.95.
Was this controversial? I should probably know this.
I don't think so.
I mean, it's stupid.
That's a good word for it.
It's not. It's
like literally
so
too
small.
Too dumb to be a scandal.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's just like, and I'm sure people, it's more like exploitive to keep going back to number one.
Right.
So this is at least like a little more honest, I guess.
Sure.
But it's also.
But does anybody think that they're not going to go back to a new number one in a couple of months?
How dare you?
All right. I'm sorry.
When this gets to 600, I'm going to lose my friggin'
I'm really
mind.
Sorry. I really like this book a lot. What Charles Soule is doing on here is great. Obviously, it is very resonant with the real world, which is really cool. But at the same time, it throws Daredevil in this impossible situation, puts Fisk on top, literally, and puts Daredevil almost in the wrong. Like, he knows that Wilson Fisk is probably doing something wrong or for the wrong reasons, but legally, which obviously ties into Daredevil really well, he can't do anything about it.
Oh, and is he supposed to, is that like a Trumpian figure, Fisk?
Yeah.
That's what I was alluding to earlier.
But you guys are talking about mayors, so it sounds like you're talking about
right. No, he at the top of the thing, they talk about like he ran on a populist platform.
He was very honest.
He was like, you guys know me, you know who I am. They talk about he published a book, which really turned the tide. So it's
he was
pretty
taped
clear.
Giving like some vague comments about
it. Yeah.
But when you're famous, they let you.
Yeah, exactly. Grab him by the black cat. That's what I always say.
Oh. Yeah.
It's okay. Well, it's okay. Look, we're going to get past this. It's okay.
What happened, we're going to roll past it.
This book is very good.
It is. It's great. And yeah, I think I feel like the recent arcs have been about Daredevil taking on the legal system and trying to get vigilantes the right to testify in court, which is not like the sexiest comic book topic. So the fact that he's moving into sort of an examination of like a hero who is trying to fight against a villain who is now has legal status as the leader of the city he's there to defend, like that's interesting. And I it's pushing on a border that I didn't know was there. So that's cool.
Is Daredevil a good lawyer?
That's a really good question.
He shows up late a lot.
I got to think that he's not on call very much. I mean, no.
Well, the last arc was he came up with this case to which we were talking about a little bit.
Yeah.
To make it so that vigilantes can testify on the stand without taking their masks off, without revealing their identities to the public. And the thing that's cool about it is Charles Soule, who's the writer, is a lawyer. Like, he is professionally a lawyer.
That's actually kind of interesting.
Most of the stuff that he does at Daredevil is very based in the law, and sometimes, like Justin was saying, it gets into these, okay, I actually have to explain this thing, so this actually legally does work in the world of Marvel comic books, but also kind of in the real world. But it's cool. It's cool.
There was a whole arc about breaking a non-disclosure agreement that was fucking nuts.
It was crazy.
It was insane. I can't believe he got out of that.
Yeah. Last one we're going to talk about, Mr. Miracle number 4 from DC Comics. This book is great if you haven't been picking it up. Mitch Gerards is on art and killing it. A lot of people talk about Tom King on writing, and the writing is great, but it's really a showcase for Mitch Gerards and everything he's doing. And this issue, if you talk about not a lot happening in a comic book, like we were joking about that with the non-disclosure agreement. Mm-hmm. Most of this takes place in one apartment, and most of the action is developed around a crudité tray. There's an entire series of panels where somebody is just eating a carrot, but it's one of the most dramatic things I've ever read in my entire life, and it's crazy. And if you haven't been reading the book, Mr. Miracle is he's a magician on Earth, but he's an escape artist. He's an escape artist.
Very important.
And he is also a general on New Genesis, fighting against Apocalypse, which is the bad planet of the new gods. And he is caught in like this weird dreamlike state where maybe he's a pawn of Darkseid, maybe he's good and everybody else is a pawn of Darkseid. We don't exactly know what's going on, but in this issue, Orion, who's become the leader of New Genesis, puts him on trial in this apartment, and basically, to totally spoil it, but he puts him to death. Like, he sentences him to death, and it's horrifying because to get into the escape artist thing, there's no way out of it. So that's what they've been structuring this entire time, is they keep throwing him into logically and emotionally based traps and seeing if he can get out of them. And so far, each time he does get out of one, he gets thrown into a worse one. And it's great.
Yeah. Or it's depressing as shit.
That sounds super depressing.
It depends on how you look at it. Because you can tell that this is the exact same team that did Vision, because that was also like, let's take kind of a superhero type character, but put him in an emotional
same
shit
writer.
Where no superhero stuff actually happens.
Different artists.
It's like, let's spend a whole comic where it's just them sitting down. And oh man, when somebody stands, holy shit. Like, if you show me a veggie platter for 8 panels, when that guy goes for that carrot, you're like, oh man!
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming. This is great comics.
But to take your point even further, it's a depressed. This very comic is depressed. It's depressing to read, but the hero's depressed. He tried to kill himself right before the series started.
Yeah.
He's dealing, all of the pages of him escaping are death. We see him technically die, but he somehow gets out that we don't see on panel. Like, everything, even the way the 9-panel grid is laid out, it's very repetitive about being depressed.
Is.
You're looking at a crudité plate, and it's like, fuck, I don't even want to get a carrot. And then you do, and it's like, what's my life like?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think
Why did I spend money on this?
So, yeah, I'm not having a party. I'm not going to eat all this. Plus ranch, I don't know.
What? You're against ranch?
It's not much.
Wait, now, how could you tell that it was ranch and not blue cheese?
Yeah. I think the classic crudité is ranch. That was my assumption.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're going to...
They got a prepackaged crudité platter.
Well, you're getting some high-class crudité with blue cheese.
Yeah, oh my God.
What's your life like?
I only do blue cheese crudité.
Wow.
Do you make it yourself?
That is a ballsy
I only make my own crudité, and it's only homemade blue cheese.
Oh, man. Am I the only person here who does that?
It's all he eats. His entire diet.
Crudité platter.
My pockets are full of blue
breakfast.
Cheese right now.
Oh, wow.
That's technically healthy, I think.
Is it?
I think.
Having the three crudité platters a day?
Think about the vegetables.
That's a lot of blue cheese, though.
I mean, I prefer blue cheese over ranch, but like,
I'm not crazy. Ranch is the standard.
Well, yeah, it's definitely
this
the
is
standard.
These are wings.
Yeah, but also I like blue cheese.
Have you ever ordered wings and they give you ranch?
That's fucked. That's
it's
what I'm
the
saying.
Most
there's
fucked
a,
up thing.
That's a gear. There's yeah. a
the thing is when you get down to it, really, we're all pawns of Darkseid.
Yeah. Exactly. This is a depressed
Thank
conversation.
You. Book is great. Definitely pick it up. That's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on to, thank you. We're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section, because I get to come out to you guys. It's your audience questions.
Yep.
And you guys know how it works, but I'm going to describe it for you anyway. You ask a question about absolutely anything, something for our amazing guests over here, something for everybody. And Pete over there is going to bring you some free comics and stuff just for asking a simple question.
It's going to be fun.
All right. You, sir, right up there. Come on down. What is your name, you sex, love, and salsa?
What? Why would you say that to somebody?
It's a podcast. The shirt says sex, love, and salsa.
Don't save him. People at home were losing
their
minds.
Your shirt says that?
The shirt does not say that.
Oh, that's a crazy coincidence.
You monster.
I'm also made of salsa. so I have a question. So I saw on the internet today your employee, Boofman Prime, described the Dark Knight.
First off, employee's a strong word, but yes.
Boothman, shut off your mic. Boothman, shut off your mic.
Did he just shut off? Wait, did he shut off this one?
Purposely
too?
Shut off the mic.
Boothman has all power.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Boothman Prime!
What? Did you shut off both of these mics?
Yeah.
It should be working. Wow. I can fix it if it's not working, but it should be working.
Test.
Test. Yeah, it works.
What about
this? What's that? This reveal is going to be huge.
Yeah.
Boothman struck down your mic.
Whisper it to Pete.
Oh, great.
Is The Dark Knight barely a superhero movie or fully a superhero movie?
Wow. You're talking about the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight.
Can I give some context first?
Yeah, please.
We were looking at this with an article that said 50 best superhero movies.
Right.
The 50 top superhero movies.
Right.
And number one was The Dark Knight.
Right.
Which, in my opinion, The Dark Knight is a great movie, but with regards to being a superhero movie...
Why wouldn't The Dark Knight be a superhero movie?
I'm not saying it's not a superhero movie. I'm saying it's a crime drama. It's barely a superhero movie is what I'm saying.
Hold up. Are you saying The Dark Knight is more than a superhero movie, that you can't classify it as a superhero movie? What are you saying?
You can call it a superhero movie, but to call it the best superhero movie, I think is a stretch.
Okay, so that's what you're angry about.
Yeah, I think it's the best. I'd say it's yes, exactly.
What do you think is the best?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that right now.
Let me say, I agree with you, Boothman, because I feel like all of Christopher Nolan's movies are like, oh man, that was awesome. And someone's like, what was awesome about it? You're like, I have no idea. I don't remember most of it. It was very confusing at the end of the day. And I feel like that holds on with The Dark Knight as well, where it's like, wait, now there's a bunch of boats they're on?
The last 30 minutes of that movie is just like, what is this? Yeah. It's a disaster, I think.
No, I totally agree with you guys on that. I will say, to your point, Justin, Dark Knight Rises, to me, is pretty much a perfect, like, 90s Batman story with Gotham under siege and bridges on fire and everything like that. It's like all of those...
movie's also bad.
Oh, no, that's the best.
Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah,
why do you think that's the best one? I've never heard that argument.
Are we just trading mics? What's
I've heard people stick up for that one, but I haven't heard anyone say it's the best of the Nolan.
I just really enjoy it. I love. Yeah. I do the Bane voice all the time. That's always fun.
That's not part of the movie.
Yeah.
that's the experience. Yeah. Feeling.
Do you feel like you're in charge?
That movie is crazy. It's a mess from beginning to end.
Nobody cared who I was until I put on the mask.
His opinion is not good. Exactly. I didn't hear what you just said, just like in the movie when you can't hear what Bane's saying.
Like I was saying, to me it felt like it was ridiculously over the top, Batman 90s crossover, Gotham under attack, under siege, and Batman leading the people of Gotham to take the city back. That, to me, it felt like reading a 90s crossover. That's it. I'm repeating the same thing over and over.
The idea of rewatching that whole segment fills me with terror.
Yeah, exactly. Really? I'm so tired. I'd be tired just hearing you do it.
For me, there's the Phantom with Billy Zane, and then there's everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Billy Zane has never gotten a response like that anywhere. Crowd losing it over Billy Zane.
Did you see him on Legends of Tomorrow the other week?
What's that?
He definitely did not. Legends of Tomorrow. Pete definitely saw it. It was ridiculous.
In a good way?
In a good way.
Zane still got it?
He was playing P.T. Barnum.
Zane is fantastic.
Zane got that Phantom heat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't say nothing bad
about
Zane.
It's coming back.
Would you watch a TV show called Does Zane Still Got It?
Yeah.
I would. Yeah.
A reality show?
Yeah.
Where he's
tested
every week on a new thing
that Bravo used to have.
Does
Zane Still Got It?
It's Zane re-auditioning for all the roles.
Yeah, the Zane's test stage.
And then it becomes a philosophical quandary of, like, what did he have?
Exactly.
He lost.
He had it.
Now that's depression.
Yeah,
that's
cool. I think we're going to take another question.
Yeah.
Steal your mic, Justin. Yeah, well, my mic isn't long enough now. Let's get one. You, sir, right there. What's your name? What's your question?
Kevin, I feel you, Pete. Justin has abandoned me too before.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We should start a support group.
I'll be there, guys.
No,
I'll
you won't.
Definitely be there.
You'll say I'll you'll be there, and then you'll never show.
Besides your own title, and this is for everybody in comics or in the whole of fiction, what are some of your favorite father-son relationships?
Father-son relationships. Oh shit!
This is interesting. Relationships.
That would be very difficult in my case. But
father-son relationships in all of fiction.
All of fiction. Does Godzilla and Baby Godzilla from the cartoon?
Yeah, that counts.
I don't know why that was the first thing I thought of. maybe it goes to show, but that's one.
That's a solid one.
Ordinary People.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, I haven't read really the comic. Who's writing that comic these days?
Went really heavy on that.
Did you know
Ordinary People.
That is a really good father-son relationship.
Yeah, they actually, they just switched Ordinary People back to the original numbering.
I heard that. They shouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Matt Fraction's doing it now, right?
Yes, he is. Really carrying it on.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. what else? Anybody else? Pete?
I mean, there's Hamlet and his father, his ghost father.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is that too high, bro?
Yeah. I think we're just sticking with comics, though, right?
Did you say comics? You said all the fiction.
All of fiction? Oh, shit. My bad.
The opening it up just completely, I'm like, oh, shit.
It could be anybody.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in a certain way, Dokken is the father of Frankencastle.
Fuck you.
So yes. I feel like
wow. That's a good
way to bring it down, you fucking piece
of
shit.
That's a great way.
We can't go one show. We can't go one show.
We have like three bits, and we do them every show.
Don't say that.
I feel like Grant Morrison and Mark Millar have a sort of father-son relationship.
Yeah, there we go. That's nice.
And I find that endlessly entertaining.
Yeah. He's never going to get that love that he needs. Yeah.
And then I think Alan Moore thinks he's every comic book writer's father. A disapproving father.
Well, he birthed them out of his beard.
That's right. Yeah.
That did remind me, though. I do actually really like the relationship between Bruce Wayne and Damian Wayne. I think that's really good. I like Damian Wayne a lot. So just to bring it back to comic books, if that's okay for a second, I think that's a good relationship.
That's really nice.
Justin, you have another one or just Godzilla?
Yeah, just Godzilla and Baby Godzilla. Ned Stark and his children is nice.
Yeah.
Except for all the dying.
it's actually really not nice, all of them. I guess, in a lot of ways. But,
yeah. But they talk about him a lot. So what else can he ask for, really?
Cool. All right, good question. You, sir, right there, come on up or come on down. Either way, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Andrew. Hi. Question is this. Oh, okay. So the Batman may or may not be out of canon, the new movie that's coming out.
Ah.
So I'm curious, what out of canon stories from any comic book that you so choose would you most like to see adapted into a future film?
Great. Out of canon, out of continuity, made into a movie.
Right.
With real people acting in it.
Yeah. Does anybody have a... Like an Elseworlds story, maybe, or a What If, or something
could
like
be,
that.
Could be. I mean, there's a lot of stories that just are just like next door to
kind of... You know what might be
kind of
interesting? First one that came to mind. Have you guys read Fantastic Four Unstable Molecules?
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great book. It's a riff on the Fantastic Four, a more realistic take on it. And it's great. And I think when they've been struggling with a Fantastic Four movie and none of the previous takes have really worked, it would be cool to see them go in an entirely different direction and adapt something like that.
And in that comic, though, did they ever... That's just them about like doing science stuff, right?
Yeah, it's basically them as scientists.
But do they ever get powers?
I don't think so.
No, they just assemble a crudité platter.
Yeah, that's a... I think you just want to watch science.
Was this a fake comic that your parents made just to teach you science?
Yeah.
Because you weren't...
Yeah.
Oh, right. I just want to go to science class.
Yeah.
That's all.
Unstable Alex's Future was the working title of that.
It's a really good book. Definitely pick it up.
Great. Out of continuity. Obviously, the Ordinary People universe is all in continuity, so you can't really...
The Peopleverse? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What if the brother didn't drown in a boating accident? Right?
great what if.
It just blew my mind. Oh, my God.
That's a popular what if that the characters in the movie have.
They do a lot of that theorizing.
Is Kingdom Come considered out of...
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
That's always been one of my favorites. I think that's...
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I would watch it. I would watch it.
Yeah. Oh, good.
That he would watch it, right?
Hey, leave him alone. He said he'd
you
watch
really
it.
Landed up.
Sorry to attack you like that.
Thanks for repunctuating that sentence for us after you said it the first time.
Pete, do you have one?
I don't know. I would like to... one of the X-Force runs where they kind of team up a bunch of sharp people, as Justin likes to point out. And turn that into a movie.
Interesting.
I mean, that's pretty firmly in continuity.
That's very in continuity.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the best I could do with the question.
Think about all the what-if possibilities.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, a lot of those times, I don't like those stories. So
how about this? What if they did the What If Aunt May Was the Herald of Galactus? That would be a fun one.
Yeah, that's cool.
Featured
nice.
Film.
Nice.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a guy that's, like, super into Golden Aunt May. Did that get weird?
Yep.
There were a ton of great Batman Elseworlds annuals over the years, and I feel like any one of those would have been great. There's the one where he's a pirate. I guess they sort of... is that technically in continuity now because of Grant Morrison?
Yep.
I think you could fudge it. I think that's all right.
Yeah, we're fudging it.
The fudged one. We're fudging it, folks.
We're going full fudge, you guys. I think we could do one more question, right? One more question to you, sir, right there. Come on up. What's your name? What's your question?
Hello, guys. Hey, Pablo. Hey. And for the record, I don't think the Dark Knight should be at number one. Should be a top five at least. But
nice. Okay. Record adjusted.
What should be number one, according to you?
Yeah, what's your number one?
Yes, Winter Soldier, or Civil War.
Oh, nice, okay.
All right, respectable.
Nice.
All right. My question... I don't know if you guys discussed this yet, but what do you think of Bendis going to DC?
Oh, nice.
We talked about that last week.
We only touched on it, though, because I think I would add on to that question, what book/books do you want to see him on?
That's a very good question, yeah. Justin. I'm going to do a little spin around here.
Have they announced anything that he is going to be in?
No, nothing at all. So for those of you who did miss the news, Brian Michael Bendis, as you can gather from the question, is going to DC. He is rumored to have some sort of expansive role in the company, as you could probably imagine, given that he was at Marvel for 15 years. They wouldn't just invite him over to write Superman and that's it. But beyond that, and beyond Scott Snyder tweeting that he spent 3 hours talking to Brian Bendis at the retreat recently, there's not a lot of information that we have in terms of what he actually will be doing at the company. So with that in mind, let's go to Justin's question. What do you want to see Bendis write?
Well, I want to see first Bendis has got to, like, earn his stripes. Like, first put him on Green Lantern Corps, and if he does good with that, then maybe give him, you know.
You want to start him at the bottom?
Yeah, yeah. You got to work your way up. You can't
Green
just
Lantern
show
Corps?
Up at DC
Green Lantern Corps
and
is
get,
not
like,
the
Superman
bottom.
And then Batman. You got to, like,
you know what? Give him, like a three-pager and a holiday
yeah,
special.
Yeah, exactly, so yeah. Give him, like,
see if
the
he's
backup
got it.
Story just to see if he can write.
He might not have that DC heat.
Yeah.
I actually do worry about that. Not worry about that, but I wonder about that a little bit. If, like, Bendis's writing will gel with whatever is going on at DC.
We talk about all the time. If you're a good comic book writer, you never lose your talent.
Oh, all right.
So,
okay,
like, what are you even
eternal,
worried about?
Right.
Yeah. Do you guys have any thoughts? What would you want to see Bendis write?
I tend to like it when a writer like that takes something that's been gathering dust on the shelf for a while, like a Starman. You know,
oh, man, that would be crazy.
Someone that no one has done sort of a definitive take on in a while and sort of make it his own. Because Starman, really, at least the way Robinson did it, is sort of a story of a city. And I feel like Bendis is really good at that kind of thing. Like his run on Daredevil really delved into sort of city politics and sort of the way the city runs and sort of a love of the atmosphere of the city. And I think he would do a really good job of stuff.
Yeah. Smaller characters. Yeah, that's, I mean, I love that answer.
Yeah. Do you have a...
I'd love to see him bring back the Milestone universe.
Oh,
wow.
I think that's really what
interesting
we need right now.
That's definitely his jam.
It's definitely what we need right now. I don't know if it's what we want, but it's what we need.
Neither of those things.
I think there's actually a bunch of titles that I feel like are kind of meandering at the moment that it would be nice to see him on. I don't think that's what they'll get him to do, but something like Blue Beetle, for example, there's so many wonderful runs with Jaime Reyes on Blue Beetle, beautiful stories, particularly when John Rogers launched it, that were great. And it hasn't been the same since then. It's basically been spinning its wheels and kind of doing the same thing. So getting somebody like Bendis, who feels very comfortable with teen heroes on something like that, to give it a new take, to give it a jolt of energy, I think would be very cool.
But it's going to be one of the, like, top seven.
Yeah, of course.
And to your point about what's been gathering dust, I feel like Green Lantern is a huge win that he could get. There's a ton of characters, like will-based powers, a lot of options for, like, some creative writing choices. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, but do you see him writing, like, a bunch of space cops? I don't know. I don't feel like that's better.
Yeah, that sounds like so much fun to me.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like he's not... Like, what else is on the table? I feel like Batman's pretty well in his pocket right now.
So it's probably, he's not going to jump right into Batman. Superman is in the midst of a crossover that feels like that's going a specific direction. You got the Flash, definitely gettable. Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Cyborg.
Yes, these are all DC comics.
But I'm talking about the top, the ones that I feel like are on the table. Because
Justice League? He just did a big event. Like, I feel like Justice League would be perfect for him.
I feel like he wants to put his name on a part of the universe in the same way that he sort of worked around the Marvel universe and got different pieces.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, they're not going to be like, here he is, Brian Bendis on Justice League number 37.
Yeah.
It's going to be something huge that's going to come out of the gate immediately.
So I feel like Green Lantern's a good shot. I feel like Wonder Woman could be a possibility for him, especially given the issue we just read.
Sounds like it's up for grabs after the issue.
Easy to get.
All right, and that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Very briefly, we're going to move on to our next section, which we call The Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Hey, and to The Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. First thing we should probably talk about, Justice League does come out this weekend.
No, nobody's talking about that. We're talking about Punisher coming out this weekend.
Right,
nobody cares about Justice League.
Well, I'll tell you what then. Let's skip by Justice League.
Wow! Wait, don't you just let him bully you.
Well, because I'm about to do something really mean to him.
He's gonna cut my legs out from under me when I start talking about Arrow.
No. Punisher is coming out, as you said, and the review embargo broke. I've seen the first six episodes, so
what
I can talk about it.
What do you mean the review embargo broke?
Don't worry about the terms, Pete. What it means is I can
He's
talk about it.
He's seen it, and now he can talk.
I can talk about it. So, Pete, previously when I told you I'd see an episode of the Punisher...
Don't you
This
say
is my
shit.
Favorite part when don't, Alex can hold something over
don't,
Pete's head.
Don't you reveal anything.
Right.
Let me ask you guys a question.
You didn't want me to talk about Justice League, right? So you were like, skip ahead to Punisher. Do you guys want me to talk about Punisher or not talk about Punisher?
Talk about Punisher?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to leave.
I want you to describe every bullet that comes out of his gun.
So first thing, he has a skull on his chest. His name is Frank Castle.
No,
Pete, come on.
He's just kidding. He's just kidding.
Well...
He's not going to say anything.
Did you like it?
So overall, here's what I would say while Pete is gone. And for those of you listening home, Pete literally is God. He walked out of the room.
Yeah.
I'm not the hugest fan of Punisher. I'm not like Pete, but I think it's very well done. Like, I think if you imagine what an FX version of the Punisher is like, an FX series of the Punisher, that's what it feels like. It's pretty seriously done. It does have violent moments, but it's mostly about the cost of the violence. Like, it opens up. The first episode is all about him dealing with his PTSD from being the Punisher and being at war, and he's having these flashbacks of his family dying, and it's super intense. And the first episode is almost like a standalone episode. It feels like, honestly, one of the better Punisher stories that's ever been told.
Really?
Are there any Garth Ennis attempts at humor, or is it mainly pretty intense?
It's pretty serious.
Yeah.
It doesn't really get humorous most of the time. Right. Like, there's him, there's Micro, which is what they call Microchip in the series, who he teams up with, who also is dealing with his own issues. There's a couple of cops that have some interesting stories. It spends a lot of time in the first six episodes building out the supporting cast in a way that does feel like a lot like Garth Ennis' run on the Punisher. We're like, the cops are over here doing this stuff, and then the Punisher is doing this stuff, and then the criminals are doing this stuff, and it all starts to crash together about halfway through the series.
Cool.
It's good. The acting is really good across the board.
Wow.
Okay, Pete's back.
And that's how the Punisher dies.
Yeah, there you go. A six episode, he dies, and that's the end of the series. The next couple of episodes are just his rotting body slowly dissolving.
He just chokes on a Brussels sprout. That's how he does.
He's trying to punish a plate of Brussels sprouts.
So weird.
He
it's kind of anticlimactic, but
yeah, it's really.
But you said it was a really good scene, though.
It's really funny.
It's really earned.
It's really funny.
Well,
really
that's the thing. Is that like it's a funny series?
It's a funny
it just
scene.
Gets to make you laugh
comedy.
A little.
Yeah, not yeah. a real goof. Anyway,
have you seen the Justice League movie, Mr. Ahead of Time?
I have not seen the Justice League movie.
Mr. I See Everything Before Everybody Else?
No.
Oh, I like this.
Oh, I like this fight. No, but I think, didn't someone here see it? Can you just give us a 2-3 word review?
Yeah, here, we'll hold on our mic.
Yeah. Just real quick.
Okay, so the first word is, what's the second and third word?
have fun, I guess.
There we go.
Oh, wow.
Very cryptic. there we go. That could mean anything. Doesn't look
that's
good.
That's not positive. That's not a positive review.
Well, another thing that's not totally positive is they're holding the score on Rotten Tomatoes until the day of release.
No, that's fine. They want to surprise us with how good it is. Here it's going to be like 100. Yeah.
It's going to be Christmas morning.
Yeah. Hooray. Yeah. Are you guys going to see it anyway? What are you thinking?
Nope.
No.
No?
Yeah, that feels like a plane movie to me.
Plane movie?
Plane movie, yeah.
At best.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
That's like a crashing plane.
Yep.
Really? That's when you're about to die, the last thing you want to see is Justice
League? No, I mean,
League.
Like that's the plane's crashed and I'm trapped and it's still on. I'm like, oh, this is sort of worse.
Oh, no. The guy in front of me was watching it.
I can't even have my own thoughts. I have to watch this vague attempt at making a team movie.
All right. Well, we haven't seen it. I'm sure we'll talk about it more next week. And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to turn to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to kick it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Kick it over.
Little baby
this
Pete
will probably give back to you, the lovely audience, and this opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like? Oh, first hand up, guy. Come on down. What is your name, sir?
My name is EJ, and just a quick side note, I'm pretty sure James Robinson Antiques is a Starman reference.
No.
Because there's antique dealing in Starman, yeah.
It's like that's true.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, shit, you just blew our minds.
Yeah.
Bro,
yeah.
This antique shop is, like I said, it's like there's like four plates.
I saw a picture. James Robinson's not doing well.
Guys, just promise us you're going to make this a recurring segment where you call
100% until we get through.
So anyway, EJ, I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. As long as you were paying attention at the beginning of the show, the trivia is on Alan, son of Hellcock. All right? So question number one. Alan gets advice from his dad, but in what form? Is it A, as a ghost, B, through letters he left him, or is it C, breakdance fighting? So it's either...
I'm going to guess it's as a ghost.
Yes, it is. That's right. Alan's dad is a ghost.
Well done.
And it is hilarious and also annoying for poor Alan.
Breakdancing would have been way better.
Yeah. Here we go. Question number two. Alan would rather be blank. Is it A, working on his novel, B, drawing his comic, which is said to be terrible, or is it C, modeling? So it's either A... Or if you want $25, it would be B.
I'm going to say B.
Yeah, that is right. Alan draws comics.
Wow, that
in
is
this
rather
comic.
Leading answer.
Meta.
Yeah.
All right, question number three, last one. What is the name of the evil villain who attacks the town? Is it A, Carl? It's two A's. Or is it B, Evil Ernie? Or is it C, Mugatu? So it's either A... Or it's B.
I'm going to guess it's Carl.
Carl. Yay. Yeah.
Right.
Carl.
Here we go. $25, sir. Congratulations.
Well done.
Carl.
Well
all done. Right, guys. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to, I would say, Punisher and Invincible.
Great. Oh, any nice. Reasons? Or?
Is that one comic where they're together?
No. Two separate comics. Invincible is winding down. I'm super sad about it, so I'm cherishing every last issue.
And this is the Punisher arc where that starts the Brussels Sprout arc.
Let's hope not. Up. That's let's hope that's not
Punisher
a real thing.
Versus Brussels Sprouts.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I'm going to say Punisher wins.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
He doesn't on the TV series, but we'll see what happens.
Punisher should have cut him in half.
Punisher's a big old baby.
You watch
that's
him.
That's a real father joke, I guess.
Yeah, it is. You got to cut grapes in half.
You got to cut grapes in half. Yeah, other like round fruits and vegetables.
Stay tuned for other podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you looking forward to, Justin?
I'm looking forward to Black Science is coming out. Great comic. Very high stakes, high energy. There's also a trade of a comic called Butcher Baker, the Righteous Maker, which is a crazy Joe Casey comic.
That's good.
And that's worth checking out, too.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Mage the Hero Denied is coming out. I got to be honest, I've never read any of the Mage books before this, which is super embarrassing because I know it's a seminal comic book. But I've been reading this one as it's been coming out, and it's really good. It picks up years after the Mage books, which, again, did not read. But I'm going to go back and read the...
Don't read this out of
guilt. Oh, my God. I feel terrible. It's a magician past his prime gets sucked back in for another adventure. The demons are great. The tone is great. It's just a really good book. And again, even if you haven't read it, you could jump right in.
I have the exact same relationship with Mage. I've always felt like I should read it. Yeah. I never have.
Yeah, I just never got around to it, and I feel bad about it. But this one is 4 issues in, so you can jump right into it. What are you guys looking forward to?
What's Kill the Minotaur? What is that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I picked a good one.
Yeah. I love that book. This is actually the last issue is coming out tomorrow.
Right.
The idea, it's a riff on the Minotaur myth.
Right.
But it amps it up to like crazy sci-fi movie dimensions where it still takes place in ancient Greece. You have Theseus fighting the Minotaur.
Yeah.
But it's this crazy sci-fi weird alien monster that grows and gets more horrible. Kind of like the Thing over the course of the series. And it's tied to the labyrinth, and the labyrinth is...
This actually sounds like something I would really
like. It's awesome.
You really stumbled into that. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
How many issues?
6 issues.
Will's been holding the phone the whole time, but I think I saw something called Star Wars The Wacky Robber, which definitely is not what I actually
saw.
That
sounds made up.
But I would read a comic called Star Wars : The Wacky Robber.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, eventually they will make that movie.
They will. They'll be out of everything.
Law of averages. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Wacky Robber this time?
I mean, Han Solo was sort of wacky. Yeah. Let's just amp it up a little
bit.
He's
like a wacky robber.
He's like a wacky robber.
Plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Alan Son of Hellcock is the main thing to plug, I think, which is Z2 Comics.
It's Z2 Comics, yeah.
On Amazon.
That's right. It's really beautiful art by a Spanish artist named Miguel Porto.
And it's really dumb and funny, and I think a really great time. So check it out.
All right, very nice. Cool. A couple
earnest.
Of things before we go. Next week on the show, Plaid Klaus, the artist of Void Trip from Image Comics, is going to be here, which we're very excited about.
Very
also,
cool.
Our show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. If you're here physically in the theater, you can throw a couple of bucks into our magician's hat over there. If you're listening
it's an
online,
escapist hat.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay, thank you. Sorry, I got that wrong. Or online, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter @ComicBookLive and James Robinson Incorporated. Please, like, have someone answer your phone.
Pull it together.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Imam Bell, Tom Rajar, Craig Fletcher, Dave McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Will and Gabe for being on the show.
Yay. Thank you so much. Thank
you. Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at the Pit Loft at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you.
And they let the secrets leak. And occasionally they